Okay, so let's talk about American identity or identity in general. You've gone through an identity change. You were a Jew, now you're a Christian. You've gone through the baptism. So are you still the same person, or are you not the same person, or what does that mean?
I'm a new person every day, but I am one thing, a new creation in Christ through holy baptism.
Okay, now
that,
I've
that remains.
Jews I've taught, Jews who converted because of listening to me, and then they write to me, and then they wonder, am I still a Jew? And I say, well, it depends on what you mean. What do you mean by a Jew? Do you mean did your DNA change? No, that didn't change. Your nose didn't change. Your preference for lox and bagels, that didn't change. Okay. But as you said, if you're not a new man, if baptism doesn't make you a new man, well, then what's the point of it? Obviously, it has to make a change. So what's the change? How can we talk about this change of identity then in an intelligent fashion?
The change of identity is that as a former Jew, I'm no longer a member of the synagogue. I'm now a member of the body of Christ, the historic church.
Okay.
Well, that sums it up. What more can I say? Racially, I remain a Jew. That doesn't change. But religiously, and my entire worldview and my whole orientation is in the body of Christ with Jesus Christ as my head and I as a member of his body, the church.
Okay. There's an element of dishonesty here, I'd have to say, in Jewish identity, because they claim that if you have a Jewish mother, which you're talking about DNA, right? If you're a Jew, have a Jewish mother, you're a Jew, you have a right to go back to Israel and claim Palestinian territory and kill Palestinians and everything else that goes with Jewish identity. But there was a story that exposed the hypocrisy of that when a Polish Jew by the name of Oswald Rufeisen was working with the Nazis during the Nazi occupation of Poland. He was really a double agent, so he would tell the Nazis he was going to lead them to the Jews where the Jews were hiding, but then he'd tell the Jews in advance, so they finally found out about him, so he had to go into hiding. And he went into hiding in a Catholic convent. And during this period of time, he converted to Catholicism, and then after the war, he became a priest. And then the state of Israel gets founded, and he thinks, well, I'll go to Israel and become an Israeli citizen. Well, when he got there, they wouldn't let him. And it was a big court case. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, and it said basically that if you get baptized, you're not a Jew anymore.
That's the red line.
That's right. That's exactly the point. So wait a minute. You just said it was your mother's DNA that made you a Jew. Well, how did that water going over your forehead change your DNA?
So it's a devious. Go ahead.
It led me to a definition that we can't use matter as the definition of what makes us. The essence lies someplace else. And I'm saying that the Jew was a theological construct that came into existence after the whole crucifixion story, that whole story.
Absolutely.
And the Jewish identity became rejection of Logos.
Tradition of the elders. Okay, I'm sorry.
And that has been this rebellion against Logos led to the Jewish revolutionary spirit, and that's been their essence ever since.
Yeah, I read your book. It's a great book. I read it years ago. That kind of what hooked you and I up, you know, way back. We go back, you and me.
Yeah, we do,
Doctor.
We do.
Yeah, but it's the deviousness of Jewry's Talmudism. They'll have it like five ways. Then once they have it five ways, they go to the sixth way. If it serves their purpose.
Right.
That's a Jew. So you're not going to argue with Jews. It's impossible.
Right. And I have tried, believe me. I tried to talk to Charles Moskowitz I got on the show with him about five different times. It was interesting because the only time we ever had a real meeting of the mind was the first interview I did. And I'm going on and on, saying pretty much what I'm saying to you right now. And he's agreeing with me. And yeah. I'm thinking, wow, this is great. We're going to have a meeting of the minds, and who knows where this will lead. So then he says to me afterwards, he says to me, oh, I forgot to press the record button. Well,
Michael, you're in good company. Justin the philosopher had a dialogue with Trypho the Jew. And every other paragraph, Justin says to the Jew, you just contradicted yourself. You just agree with me, and now you flip-flopped. It's throughout the whole dialogue.
Right. So what I tried to do when I wrote that book is to disconnect the whole issue, the Jewish question, the idea of Jewish identity from the racial question. Because I think
it's the Jewish revolutionary spirit that you wrote.
That's right. I'm talking about the Jewish revolutionary spirit. And I said at that point, I wanted to talk about the Jew as a theological construct rather than a racial construct, which is basically the basis of the term anti-Semitism, which is Wilhelm Marr and other people in the 1870s trying to rejecting Christianity. He was a revolutionary, revolutionary 1848. He felt the Jews stabbed him in the back in Hamburg, where they went during the revolution. Didn't like them, but he didn't like to talk about religion either. So he came up with the term anti-Semitism. So my big effort is to disconnect this thing from race. And now, lo and behold, I feel that I've had some element of success, but now, lo and behold, the race issue is creeping back in again with whiteness. I'm dealing with whiteness now. And lo and behold, my favorite Orthodox Jew, Brother Kapner, starts talking about whiteness. You're talking about it now.
All right, I'll tell you why, Michael. There is a political block. It's called white. It's called Jewish Racial Collective. Jews think in terms of we. You offended us. How dare you? This is anti-Semitic of us. It's always we. Jews for Black Lives Matter. Jews for kill Hamas. It's always collective. I grew up in this. So I started saying on my Twitter, when I started tweeting last year, the only collective that can topple the Jewish collective and its 100% monopoly is a white, racial, Christian collective as it once was, the WASP, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. The Jews don't fear an Islamic collective. They do not fear a Mexican collective. They do not fear, and I'll put it how the Jews say it, a Schwarzer collective. They do not. They fear a white collective. And that's my white agenda, Michael. Christ came for all people. Okay, yes, of course. But to topple the Jewish power, there has to be this white collective.
I'm saying the Jews created whiteness. The Jews are the, first of all, let's have a simpler question. Are Jews white?
Well, they look upon themselves socially as white, but they will admit that they are not, that they are sons of Shem. And if you want to look at it biblically, if I can find a Jewish scholar these days, it's almost impossible. It used to be. They would say that the whites are sons of Japheth. Not that they created it. They would never say that. If you pin them down in a scholarly way, Michael.
Okay, well, there's a Jew by the name of Noel Ignatieff who said that whiteness is basically a social construct. And I agree with him. I agree. I'm going to put myself on the line, put the noose around my neck, and I'm going to say, yeah. I agree with Noel Ignatieff. I think that white is a social construct. I do not think that Protestant, Catholic, and Jew are social contracts. I think that they are ethnic identities in America because of the peculiarities.
It's a natural projection into society. It's white. I grew up in 1950. Everything was white. We felt comfortable with each other. Then in one neighborhood, after when I was in 1819, a friend of mine, some Hindus moved in. Everyone was just felt disassociated from it. They felt very uncomfortable because they walk around with the dots in their forehead and they didn't like it.
Right.
So I would say birds of a feather flock together, and it was the white European that settled here in America and extended Western civilization, okay, which was built by the church, which was historically white.
I think we have to make
the sons of Japheth.
I think we have to make distinctions here. So who are we talking about? If you're talking about the group that came to America, we're talking the dominant group. Certainly by the time of the Civil War, were the New Englanders, the Puritans, who settled the Massachusetts Bay Colony. They were flaming Judaizers. They were Zionists in their thinking. They identified with Joshua. All you have to do is read people like Cromwell. And he dealt this way with the Irish as well. Before the Irish, before they dealt with the American Indians, which they saw as Amalek, they declared that the Irish were Amalek. And that means you've got a way of destroying it. So I'm saying that America was Jewish from its inception. But it was Puritan Judaizers, who were the people that imposed a kind of Jewish mindset onto America at the beginning.
All right, it was their interpretation of the Bible. It was Luther, Calvin, Haas, these guys that informed their thinking. So they would see themselves as maybe the new Jew or continuation of that biblical Jew, not the Talmudic Jew, not the reactionary Jew. So I think it was just maybe an accident of theological history. Let's put it that way. But still, they embodied Western civilization, which was informed, and the worldview was the church. They could not get away from that, and their center was still Jesus Christ. So they had that focus of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen, as you and I greeted each other, and that was their motivating force. And that's what formed the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, which always countered any kind of Jewish formation to take over our social, political, and cultural, and financial world.
I don't know. I see it differently. They capitulated completely. They capitulated completely. Let's take the paradigmatic WASP institution, Harvard University. They had quotas for Jews, right? Didn't they? 1920s.
No. At first, it was a Presbyterian seminary. No Jew wanted to join Harvard.
No, all right. If you go back, it's a seminary. If you go back to the 17th century, I'm saying by the 1920s. Obviously, they couldn't have quotas for Jews when there were no Jews here. And there were no Jews here before 1890, pretty much. With some exceptions, okay? I'm going to make some exceptions. But in terms of the mass migration of the Ashkenazi, that came in the 1890s. And then Harvard is faced, and they decide, well, we'll let some in, but we'll have quotas. Well, this became a huge embarrassment for Harvard. And then they let it down, and they let more and more Jews in. And finally, guess what? The Jews took over Harvard.
Well, like they took over the country.
Right.
See, Henry Ford wrote a book about this. It was a series in his Dearborn Independent,
right.
How the
right.
Jews are pushing themselves into American society. And he stated quite clearly they're taking away our biblical roots and our biblical Christian formation, is the way he put it. So this began in 1913 when the Jews took over our monetary policy. They knew what they were doing, okay, that eventually, because money controls politicians, that they would take over the whole cultural, political, social, financial realm of America. And little by little, and Henry Ford Sr. warned Americans with a Dearborn Independent, this is what's coming, people, and we have to put a stop to it. Okay, Michael, we have today. Now, this is your position that the Protestants are basically Judaizers. Okay, let's take that as being the case, okay? Though I would nuance that, as I did. What is our solution today? Do you want to go there? How do we deal with it today?
Good. You're absolutely right. What is the solution? And I'm saying whiteness is not the solution, because it's a fictitious identity that can be granted and taken away.
How can it be fictitious? Michael, come on. This is just reality. You're white. They go to NASCAR. They're all white. They feel comfortable. If they saw a Hindu there with a dot in their forehead, then what the hell is this person doing here?
Listen, brother, I've never been to a NASCAR race. Are you questioning my whiteness? Are you questioning my whiteness?
You're more white than anybody, man. Are you a fiction? Come on. I get you to laugh. See, I get an Irish Catholic to laugh. That's a big thing.
I'm biracial.
Oh, what are you? German Irish.
German and Irish. I'm biracial.
How do I know? I can tell by looking at you.
I think that's a real identity. Okay. It's
not fictitious. Come
it's
on.
It's a real identity, like Catholicism is a real identity. But whiteness is a social construct that gets imposed for political purposes. And I think Noel Ignatieff was right. They trace it back to Virginia in the 17th century. The first slaves to arrive in Virginia were Irish. And
right,
then a little bit after that, then the slaves come from Africa. And finally, these two groups get together. And they realize that they have enough power to overthrow the government. They have Bacon's Rebellion, and they almost succeed. And at that point, the category white enters the legal system of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Now, we're going to have to agree to disagree, and that's fine with you. You're a scholar, and I ain't going to mess with you.
We're talking about if you want to have – I think we need to face – the Jewish question. I think this
yes.
is the fundamental issue that's facing us as Americans right now.
Well, that's true.
And so the question is, how are we going to deal with it?
Now,
I went through this whole thing with Converse. Converse is a Pashtun. Okay, I don't think that's white, whatever. He comes from Afghanistan, so he brings this group of people together, and he wants to create a political movement to basically oppose the Jewish control of our culture. And I say, well, that's a good idea. And then they start talking about how they're white, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is crazy. You're going to limit the opposition here to people who consider themselves white? You'll fail. You will fail miserably if you do that. Because if you're white, you're painting a target on your back and you have no rights. And I'm saying that's precisely the lesson of Charlottesville. Those guys assembled because they thought they were white, and they didn't realize that if you're white, you have no identity.
They should have added white Christian, because there are strong historical, cultural, religious roots, beginning with the missionary journeys of St. Paul that eventually went up to Europe, that built the greatest civilization in the history of mankind. I'm talking about Western civilization. I am still culturally a Western man. Even though I'm in the Eastern Orthodox Church, that will not change. My whole worldview, my whole approach to life, my whole approach to myself and my relations with others is a Western man. And we have to bring back Western Christianity. And that's why I'm about to do a stream. Easter is our national holiday, not Passover. So I want to do something about this too, religiously. Now, what's your take on that? And what
I'm
do you want to do?
I want to do it religiously. I want to say this is a religious movement, because I'm saying ethnic identity in America is religious, and it's not white or racial. Racial identity is a way of destroying the solidarity that exists among us as Americans. Race always leads to division.
Yeah, but there is a racial distinctiveness and racial talents and racial abilities. Whites have high IQs and have high testosterone. They're inventive. They're creative people. Now, I am in the Orthodox.
I thought Jews had high IQs.
Well, they outsmart themselves, and they end up being kicked out already of 109 countries and are already being hated in this country. Okay, so they always do themselves in. So they're not that smart. They may have high IQs, but culturally in any nation, they prove themselves to be traitors and to be really miserable, hideous people. that our AIPAC, ADL, presidents of major Jewish organizations can actually justify murdering, burning, starving children? How do you do this? I agree.
There's a fundamental change that has taken place, and because of the genocide in Gaza. And it blew up a lot of constructs that were supposed to bring us together. And I'm going to say one of them was conservatism. And what happened, like the Daily Wire with Ben Shapiro. This is, it's not supposed to be Jewish. It's supposed to be conservative. And Ben Shapiro is obviously a Jew. And we're all supposed to believe in Judeo-Christian values, right? And then suddenly the attack, Hamas attacks, and suddenly all conservative restraint gets thrown to the wind. And
well, of course,
Ben Shapiro is
Henry Ford Sr. warned Americans they're going to infiltrate. They'll take some common cause, they'll infiltrate it, and they will taint it and destroy it for their own interests. He said this from 1919 to 1920.
I agree. And
it's the same thing today.
I agree.
Conservatism. It's worse today. It's worse.
Conservatism was one of the things that the Jews took over.
Of course, that's the whole neocon thing. The Trotskyites decide, hey, let's get in the Republican Party and we'll twist things for the Jews. They still do it. Okay?
That's right.
Okay, that's why Randy Fine has got a Jewish flag. He says, Trump, I like Trump, and he's got a Jewish flag there. Hell, that's why Trump on Sunday, this Easter Sunday, he says, I wish everybody the end of a happy Passover. He did that on Easter Sunday for 1.8% of our population who are murderers, miserable people, destroying our country. So we become Jewified. So you and I have to put our heads together and find out how to put an end to Jewish infiltration of our country, which was built on Western Christian civilization. Yes, it was Protestant, yes. But we're now seeing a big influx in your church, the Catholic Church, in my church, the Orthodox Church, which was once one historic church.
I agree.
Them coming back. Okay, now where do we go from here?
I'm saying
I have my ideas, you have yours.
Okay, let me put it this way. If you identify as white, you're going to lose. You will lose. Same way that the white boys lost in Charlottesville, you will lose if you identify in white, even if you say white Christian, because I'm saying white Christian is an oxymoron because I'm a Catholic. This Catholic is the universal church. White Christian means a Protestant church. And Protestantism is evaporating right now as we speak. So you're betting on a horse that's not going to run anymore. A white boy is a Protestant who doesn't go to church anymore.
But the whites that are in the Catholic church, historic church, the whites that are in, let me just finish my thought. The whites who are in the Orthodox church have a sense of white historic community, which they don't have with the Mexican who is now lining up for Holy Communion, or the Hindu, or the former Hindu who's lining up for Holy Communion. He's in sync with them as a brother in Christ, but not culturally, not physically, and not in the sense of his whole historical thrust, which still is in the white person. It's still into the white youth. So I still say, I discourage intermarriage between a white and a Mexican. I discourage it. And I don't even see, I can make a biblical case against it too. But I see the white man, the white youth, as having still that high IQ, that sense of creativeness, and it's been proven scientifically they have a higher testosterone. And they can move into a political realm, which we have to. We have to do that because the Jews have taken over our politics. Every shill on Capitol Hill has got a Jewish flag except for Thomas Massie. That's my point of view. I still want to see a white collective grow because that's the only thing the Jews fear, because they know they have high IQ, high testosterone, they're creative people, they're inventive people, they can pull together and they can make stuff happen. The Mexican can't, the Hindu can't, as the Jews call them, Schwarzes, they can't. And I have black people that agree with me on this. That's my position, Michael.
Yeah, my position is there's no such thing as a white Catholic.
Well, when I look at you, I say you're a white Irish Catholic.
Okay? I know. But
and everybody else does, Michael. You can't escape it. It's not fiction. You can't escape it. You're into an intellectual escapism.
No, I'm not escaping. I'm just saying it's a social construct. If you're talking about a phenotype, yeah, I agree. There's a phenotype that I'm part of. And you can look at me and you think, well, this guy probably wasn't born in Tanzania. Okay, I agree with that. That's reality. That's a reality of the situation. But when you extrapolate that into the realm of values, it falls apart. It doesn't exist. There is no such thing as a white European. That's a contradiction in terms. In order to be a European, you've got to be a German, you've got to be an Italian, you've got to be Polish. What, you know the list. See, those people are not white. They're not
culturally
white.
Culturally and socially, my whole outlook is white European.
Well, let's get back to America.
I was born in 1950 in Pittsburgh. In a white city, in a white state, in a white neighborhood. Okay, so culturally, socially, I'm white. I'm a product. My worldview is the church of European Western Christian civilization that brought so many people here, created a culture, and their physical attributes cannot be discounted. It's just part of our life,
okay.
How we look.
Okay, let's
people
talk about-
People look at you, they see a white Catholic. That's how I see you.
Let's look at this Christian civilization in America. It was Protestant or it was Catholic. And those people did not get along with each other. I grew up in, I'm 2 years older than you. I was born in Philadelphia. I was born into an Irish neighborhood. The Irish became white when the blacks showed up, and the blacks were being they were brought in by trains from North and South Carolina by a Protestant minister by the name of Leon Sullivan, who was on the take from the Ford Foundation. The Ford Foundation was orchestrating this type of ethnic cleansing of Catholic neighborhoods in Philadelphia. We were not identified as white. We were identified as Catholic. That's what made us the enemies of this group of people that were basically weaponizing migration to destroy our culture.
Blacks didn't create it. It just came out naturally. Hey, here's blacks here doing this. Hey, we're white. We're not black. And when they thought themselves as white, we have a different culture. We have a different worldview. We have a different history. So that's what that is. It just came out naturally, what was already there. I don't want to debate you on this. I think I could bring you around to my way of thinking, though, in time. Because I think you're denying our natural aspects and who we are. Who we are as our physical expression, who we are as we look, our background, where we come from, our history. That's why I say I am culturally, my whole worldview, my whole approach to everybody is white European. When I'm in San Francisco and I see all these Jeets walking around all of a sudden or in Chicago and I don't see Irish Catholics like I used to, I get queasy. I don't like it. It just comes out within me. Ooh, this is no good. I want to see those white Catholics, those white Irish Catholics. Chicago is not a white Irish Catholic city anymore. It's Jeetified. And who brought them over? The Jews. They're doing it on purpose. They want to destroy a white collective. You have to understand from the Jewish point of view, Michael. The Jews are genocizing the whites. Every time I go to Google, I want to see a white family to put on my wall. I just want a white family. There's always some Schwarze kid in it. There's always some Mexican kid in it. There's a Japanese, Chinese kid in it. Why can't I get a full white? Because the Jews don't want it. Because they're scared of a white collective. I understand the Jewish mindset.
There was no white collective in Philadelphia. It didn't exist. You were a Catholic, you were a Protestant, or you were a Jew. And all of those groups were at war with each other.
Christian. You're missing the second part. Racial, white, Christian.
I'm not denying the Protestants are Christian. I'm saying that we were at war with the Protestants. It was war. It was civil war. And I'll tell you when it began in Philadelphia. It began in 1962. And I was there for 4th of July celebration at Independence Hall in Philadelphia. And there's a Catholic mayor on the platform. There's a Catholic governor of Pennsylvania on the platform, and there's a Catholic president of the United States on that platform. And that enraged the WASP elite, which was in alliance with the Jews in Philadelphia. It was called Americans for Democratic Action. That was the umbrella group. And they were enraged, and they thought that the Catholics were taking over the country. And within 1 year, they acted on it, and they murdered John F. Kennedy. Now, I just went through one of the things that just come out is the Jewish complicity in the murder of John F. Kennedy, which is undeniable at this point, as far as I can tell.
Michael Collins Piper revealed that a long time ago in his book.
Right. That's what happened. His book is so they Trump released these documents, and it brought back Michael Collins Piper's book as the definitive based statement of the collaboration between Meyer Lansky, the Jewish criminals in America, and David Ben-Gurion, who was at war Assad, with John F. Kennedy. So, I mean, this is the reality of the situation. I'll give you an
example. It's not the reality. You're talking about Philadelphia. This wasn't a case in Boston.
Of course it was. Of course it was. Of course it was.
It wasn't a case in Chicago. There was always a Catholic mayor.
Of course. It was every single city. There was a war between the Catholics, the Protestants, and the Jews. And they were all white. So it's a meaningless term.
Now, you're speaking in generalizations, and you're going back in history.
I'm speaking in particularities. White is the generalization, and it did not apply to the reality of the situation in cities like Philadelphia, Chicago, Boston, you name it.
When people look at you, they say white Catholic. Okay, Michael, you just have to come to terms with it, or else you're in a fiction. You're in a mental fiction. But let's talk about today. We got all these historical things. There's no more a war between the Protestants and Catholic. That is over. The Catholic Church is emerging. It's moving into, I think, a better direction now. Okay? And the Orthodox Church is too. And there is talk among young people to try to reunite the Catholic Church with the Orthodox Church. And I'm already talking to some bishops about it from the traditional Catholics about this. Okay? And I hope to be part of that. I hope you and I can work to be part of that. But in the meantime, okay, we're seeing Protestant kids or kids that were raised with nothing. They're going back to the historic church, whether it's the Orthodox Church or with the Catholic Church. And I don't argue if where they want to go, that's fine. Okay, but they're leaving the Protestant thing and they want something deeper. They want something historical. They want something that speaks to them. And they cannot avoid the fact that this is what? The Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church created Western civilization. Okay, probably the Catholic Church more, but they were once intertwined, part of the whole Roman Empire. So this is where we're at today. So you and I, we have to find a way. I think you're doing it. I'm doing it. Maybe we both should do it more. I'm starting preaching videos. I would like to be the next Billy Graham. I think I have it in me to do that because I want to reach the kids. I play rock music, I'm cool and all that. But we have to find a way to stop the Jewish power here because it's gotten way out of hand.
I agree. Okay. We're talking about a method to do it, and I'm trying to come up with a productive rather than a counterproductive method. The other thing that we're not talking about is that the Protestant church is evaporating as we speak.
Yes.
It is creating a huge cultural vacuum, not only in America, but in Scandinavian countries like Norway, Sweden, England as well. The Protestantism had a 500-year run, and it's evaporating. And I'm saying we are at the end of the Third Republic in America. There are 80-year republics. We're at the end of the Third Republic, and the classical explanation of ethnic identity in America was Protestant, Catholic, Jew. It's called the triple melting pot. What the Fourth Republic is going
to... Jews don't melt.
The Jews become Americans. They become not the kind of Americans I want, but they do become Americans.
They don't melt. They infiltrate.
Okay. All right.
Okay, but that's...
Okay.
Protestant, that's not the point.
Protestant, Catholic, Jew. Jew, Protestant, Catholic. What's going to happen now? The Protestant church is going to disappear. It's going to disappear.
The reality is they're coming into the Orthodox church as well as the Catholic church, or well, just nothing.
Okay, but whatever. That means they're not Protestants anymore. So what you have is the mainline Protestant denominations like Anglican, Presbyterian, Methodist have all gone over to homosexuality. They're all flying the rainbow flag, and they will disappear first.
And the Baptists are Jew lovers.
That's right. That's what I was just going to say. So the evangelicals are all Christian Zionists, and they will merge with the Jews. And so what I'm saying is that the Fourth Republic, the beginning of this new republic, is going to be a battle between Catholics and Jews.
No, but the reality is, Michael, is that because of internet, because of YouTube, because of social media, okay, is that the young kids who were raised Protestants are both coming into the Orthodox Church today. I'm not talking about 100 years ago. They're coming into the Orthodox Church.
I'm not disputing that. But we have to see
reality. The reality is they're coming into the Orthodox Church, they're coming into the Catholic Church, they're just disappointed and just staying home playing video games. What is your goal? What would you like to see in the short term? What would you like to do in the short term? And what would you like to see in the long term? Then I'll tell you my vision.
I'd like to see this framed as a religious battle, because the Catholics will have protection in a way that they don't if they say that they're white. And I would like to see the reassertion of the ideals, fundamental principles of the American Republic, this time under a more coherent religious auspice than what it was in the past. I think
that would be symphony of church and state, not union of church and state, a symphony of church and state.
We have a very sophisticated understanding of the relationship between church and state in the Catholic Church, much more sophisticated than the Protestant Church, was basically a state church. Basically, when Luther stole the property, when the English stole the property, they became a state church, and there was no opposition between the Pope and the Emperor anymore.
Okay, religiously, how are you going to? What are you going to do with the young people? What is your thrust?
First of all, all of these young people. If they're asking me for advice, I'm telling them to get baptized. I'm telling them to become Catholic, because that will give you a real identity. But I'm not proposing
that. If they ask your advice, are you thrusting forward? Are you pushing something forward? They say, hey, what's this? That's what I'm doing. Or are you just waiting there sitting around?
Everybody knows I'm pushing forward in one way by dealing with the culture. But what I'm saying here is I'm not proposing. I think that it would be good if these people got out of the vacuum that they're living in the internet, because the church that their ancestors belonged to doesn't exist anymore. And they're going to have to choose something if they want to straighten out their lives. And I'm saying they should become Catholic. But what I'm proposing is a political alliance. I'm not proposing that as the political alliance that unites us is as Americans. And if you start saying white Americans, you're going to screw up a potentially broad-based political coalition against the Jews. So it's self-defeating.
I don't see coherence. I don't see how the Mexican and the white and the black can come together. They have different abilities. They have different predilections. They have different movements. They have different outlooks. I don't see it. Religiously, that's fine. I reach out to everybody, and I am doing something. I'm not waiting for people to ask me for advice. I'm preaching. I'm doing videos now preaching. And every once in a while, not more than once in a while, I'm giving, you know, religious tweets. You know, I do a Bible and doctrine series. I'm doing an Orthodox Church series. And by the way, everybody who's listening to this, I have the blessing of Archbishop Gabriel of Rocourt to do this. Okay? So you're not going to take away my credibility there. You call him up, you write to him, and you find out. He has given me a blessing to do this.
Which church do you belong to?
I am with Rocourt. I am with the Russian Orthodox Church outside Russia, Rocourt.
Okay.
But Rocourt is in communion with the Greek Orthodox Church. It is in communion with the Antiochian Orthodox Church. It is in communion with the Orthodox Church of America. And in all these realms, which were once very ethnocentric, they are now bringing in youth, American youth. Mostly white, by the way. Yes, mostly white, because these white kids are the ones on the internet. They're on the YouTube. They are disenchanted with evangelicalism, or they're just disenchanted with the way America is going, and they're looking for something to fill that gap. And they're mostly white kids who have an intelligence, who have an IQ, who want to sink their teeth into something. It's not the black. It's not the Hindu. It is not the Mexican. That's just reality, Michael. I'm a man that deals with what is, not what was or what should be. I try to deal with what is first. Then I go to what should be. That's my modus operandi. And I wish that was more yours, because you can make a great impact. I'm not saying you have to bring people into, young people in the Orthodox Church, bring them into the Catholic Church. That's fine. I have a lot of Catholic friends, and we were once united. We were once one historical church. Then things got messed up, okay?
That's not the issue. The issue is, can we have an effective coalition that will rein in Jewish power and restore the American Republic? And I'm saying, yes. If you limit it to white people, you're going to lose. It's that simple.
I'm not going to limit it to white people. I'm just saying this is more advantageous. But at the beginning of this, I'm just trying to bring people into the Orthodox Church. And I'm all for it. They want to come into the Catholic Church. If that's more their flavor, if that's more their style, fine. And then we can work together, you and I and some others, to try to unite the Catholic Church with the Orthodox Church. Because we are now, Francis was a transitional person. He was not transformational. He was transitional. I'm hoping they will put in the beginning of a transformational person, because some Catholics are telling me that it's going to come, and some people are already floating the ideas that priests don't have to stay single and celibate anymore. They're already talking about this. So there is a revival, a reforming movement, both in the Catholic Church and, believe it or not, also in the Orthodox Church too. So there's a lot to be hopeful for. I think we are at the edge of prophecy, Michael, and I see you and I as being leaders of it. You're still young at heart. You're vital. You're vibrant. Doesn't matter what the age is, okay? And you have a message, and you want to do something for this country. I have the same thing. I think this is a moment in history, you and I coming together again.
All right. I'll give you the last word.
I just did. That's my last word.
All right.
You can't stop that one, man.
let's hope for some type of unity and some type of effect in dealing with the main problem facing all Americans, which is the total Jewish control of our culture, our government, and our minds. So let's pray for a release from bondage. Anyway, thanks very much, brother. Good to talk to you.